Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. Today, we're embarking on a really profound journey. It's a deep dive into one of the most intense and deeply human passages from an ancient book that's just echoed through the centuries, Job chapter 7. And our mission, it isn't just to, study an old text. It's really about extracting these incredibly rich insights about human suffering and trying to grasp what honest faith really looks like. What does it mean to be fully seen by something bigger than ourselves, even when we feel completely lost? Because what we're about to unpack here, it's not some dusty relic. It's a raw, unfiltered cry that honestly, it resonates so deeply today.
Yeah, it really does. It's an exceptionally significant chapter. And what's so compelling, I think, is how Job's ancient lament speaks so directly to our modern lives. It's uncanny sometimes. It shows us that while some human struggles are just profoundly universal, right? They span millennia and they don't lose their bite. As we explore this, you'll see how this kind of raw, unfiltered honesty, this vulnerability, it can actually lead to a stronger faith, and it encourages a deeply authentic, maybe even surprising kind of obedience. It's not about just putting on a brave face. It's about bringing your whole self, pain and all, right to the forefront.
Okay, so let's step into Job's world right at this moment in chapter 7. It opens with him just pouring out this initial lament that is, it's gut-wrenching in its honesty. He looks at human life and he compares it to the days of a hireling. A day laborer. Can you imagine that? Someone just working tirelessly, just hoping for the day to end, just wanting that brief relief. He feels his life is filled with months of vanity and these wearisome nights. He's basically saying his existence feels totally meaningless, just empty time passing. And even the nights, which should bring rest, they're full of torment.
That's exactly right. And he describes the physical and emotional side of it in such vivid detail. He says, my flesh is closed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. Just think about that for a second. It's this feeling of utter decay, not just on the surface, but inside out. He feels his own body is just falling apart, festering, repulsive even. It's such a powerful image of being completely consumed by suffering.
And his sense of time. It's so warped, he says. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. You know, that shuttle, it's this rapid back and forth, just a blur. So he sees his life already agonizing, just flying by with no purpose, no hope for anything better. And even his nights, like you said, offer no comfort. He describes them as full of tossings to and fro until the dawning of the day. He can't find peace. Even when he tries to sleep, it's just a picture of absolute relentless misery.
Mm-hmm. And what's truly profound here, I think, is the first piece of ancient wisdom this points to, which is, God welcomes unfiltered honesty. Job doesn't try to clean up his language, right? He doesn't put on some show of piety. He's not saying, oh, thank you, God, for this learning opportunity. No, he's expressing exactly what he feels. And his boldness, it teaches us that God is truly big enough for our rawest emotions, especially when we're suffering deeply. And that realization, that can be a tremendous encouragement to faith. It just strips away that pressure to pretend. It frees us up to be truly ourselves, honestly, before the divine.
So it's not about being stoic then, or putting on that brave face for God. It's really about being absolutely transparent. Because I think for a lot of people, maybe especially in certain faith traditions, there's this kind of unspoken pressure, you know, to always be positive, always have hope, even when you're just crumbling inside.
Exactly. And that's where the wisdom of Job really shines. Grief, as Job shows us so starkly, it can absolutely distort our perspective. It can make life feel utterly pointless. We've all maybe felt glimpses of that. But this ancient wisdom, it encourages us to honor that pain, acknowledge it, feel it, without necessarily losing hope. You don't have to choose between genuinely feeling your pain and believing in God's presence. Actually, denying the pain can be really detrimental to your spiritual health. Job reminds us that authentic faith embraces the whole spectrum of human experience, including the really dark parts.
And it just gets, it gets more intense from there. Job's despair deepens as he thinks about how short life is and how futile it seems. He said, my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good.
Oh.
He's saying his life has no substance. It's just a fleeting breath. And he has zero expectation of anything good ever happening again. He's convinced he'll be soon forgotten, just like a cloud that is consumed and vanisheth away. Poof, he feels completely erased, like he never existed.
And this brings us to a really crucial modern application, I think. It really raises an important point for us today. It is absolutely okay to admit you're struggling. I mean, think about it. Like Job, so many people today are battling anxiety, depression, burnout. We live in a world that often pressures us, doesn't it, to present this perfect happy image maybe on social media or just in daily life. But Job 7 shows us, look, voicing your pain isn't weakness. It's just fundamentally human. It's universal. It's really a testament to the fact that you're experiencing something intensely difficult.
So it's like a spiritual permission slip to just admit you're not okay, especially when you hear so much about positive vibes only. Is that that whole toxic positivity thing people talk about?
Precisely, yeah. Toxic positivity is that well-meaning but ultimately really unhelpful advice. The kind that tells you to just be grateful or look on the bright side when you're genuinely deep in pain. You know, Job's friends, in a way, they kind of embodied this later on. They wanted him to just be faithful by staying quiet or being artificially upbeat. But spiritual health, true spiritual health, includes grieving, honestly. It validates your real experience. And paradoxically, it actually opens the door for real connection, both with God and maybe with others who are struggling too. It creates space for genuine healing, you know, not just a superficial cover-up.
And Job, being Job, he refuses to be silent. This is where he really digs in. He declares, "Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." He does not hold back, and he goes straight to the top. He directly challenges God. He asks, "Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me?" That's such a powerful, almost defiant question, isn't it? He's basically asking, "Why are you watching me so closely, God? Like I'm some kind of uncontrollable chaos monster that needs to be contained."
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it shows us something really important. Spiritual confusion isn't a sign of weakness. It's often a really intrinsic, even profound part of the faith journey. Job's questions to God, they aren't faithless. I'd argue they're incredibly faithful. Why?
Yeah.
Because he asks, because he fundamentally believes God is listening. Even when he doesn't understand what God is doing or not doing, they believe that God is present, that God is attentive. Even those moments of profound confusion or seeming abandonment, that is precisely what can strengthen faith. It's really an act of radical trust, in a way.
That's a fascinating paradox, isn't it? That questioning God, even in bitterness, can actually be an act of faith. It feels almost counterintuitive to how many of us might have been taught to approach faith. So what does this mean for us, for our own struggles today?
Oh, it's absolutely crucial for our modern experience. I think the modern application here is really clear and quite urgent. Speak up instead of bottling it in. When you're hurting, when you're confused, when you're angry, talk to God about it. Really talk. And talk to someone trustworthy too, a friend, a counselor, a mentor. Don't isolate yourself. Job's example encourages us to bring our whole messy, unfiltered selves into relationship with the divine. And that, surprisingly perhaps, is a powerful act of faith. It's a genuine kind of obedience, too, because it honors the truth of your experience and trusts God with it. It's far more authentic, I think, than just a performative, silent suffering.
Okay, and here's where it gets really, really deep. Maybe the most pivotal question he asks, it's in Job 7, verses 17 to 21. He looks up, figuratively speaking, and asks, "What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment?" Saying, he's essentially asking, "Why, God? Why are you so focused on me? Why are you paying such intense attention to this tiny, insignificant human? Why are you constantly checking in, constantly testing me, and why won't you just forgive my transgression and leave me alone?" It's a question born of just intense suffering. He's almost bewildered by the sheer amount of divine attention he feels he's getting, but he perceives it all as negative.
Right. And what's fascinating here is that suffering, even anguish as profound as Job's, it often invites this much deeper reflection, on the meaning of life, death, divine attention. The big questions. And this very question asked right in the middle of Job's agony and paradoxically points to a deeper truth, which is we do matter to God. Even when life feels utterly empty or pointless, it sort of reinforces the idea that God is still present, even when he feels impossibly far away or seems completely silent. Job's perception of divine silence didn't mean God had actually abandoned him. And that's key. A lack of clarity on our end isn't the same as an absence of divine care.
But that's so hard, isn't it, to trust that God is there and cares when all you feel is silence or maybe even abandonment? How does someone navigate that profound sense of disconnect and still somehow maintain faith?
That's precisely where this concept becomes so vital for strengthening faith. It encourages a different kind of trust, one that persists even when God seems distant or unresponsive. It teaches us that faith isn't the absence of doubt, but it's the persistence of engagement. It's continuing to ask, continuing to cry out, even when you don't get an immediate answer. And this also highlights, I think, a crucial modern application. Mental health matters deeply in spiritual spaces. Job's restless nights, his thoughts of death, his pervasive bitterness, these reflect real emotional and psychological anguish. Today, faith communities, churches, synagogues, mosques, they must recognize and respond to these struggles with real compassion, offering practical support and understanding, not just, you know, spiritual platitudes. So, okay, bringing all this together, what is Job's experience, his raw honesty? What does it mean for us today? in terms of encouraging genuine obedience and strengthening our faith. Well, Job's journey is incredibly liberating, I think. By seeing God's acceptance of such raw, unfiltered lament, it helps build a far deeper, more resilient kind of trust in the divine.
This radical honesty is in itself a profound form of obedience. It's not a blind, unquestioning obedience, maybe. It's an obedience to truth, to the reality of our experience. And that becomes a path to a deeper, more authentic relationship with God.
So it's not about silent submission, then, to things we can't understand, or just putting on a brave face. It's more about faithfully bringing your whole self, including the pain, the questions, all of it, to God.
Exactly. Understanding that God is present and does care,
yeah,
even when he feels far away or is silent, that allows your faith to grow, not just in the good times, but actually through the crucible of suffering. True obedience isn't about ignoring your pain or suppressing your questions. It's about faithfully bringing your whole self, your pain, your questions, your bitterness, your doubts to God. It's trusting in his ultimate care, in his wisdom, even when you can't see it clearly. Believing that he is listening and that you do matter to him. That kind of faith, the kind that can wrestle honestly and still persist, that's incredibly resilient. It's almost unbreakable. And it transforms.
Okay, let's just sort of recap this as we wrap up. We've really seen the incredible power of honest lament in Job chapter 7. It highlights this universal reality of human suffering and the surprising comfort, maybe the profound comfort, in knowing that God is indeed big enough for our rawest, most unfiltered emotions. Job's story really is like a profound shortcut to understanding that transparency with God isn't just allowed. It's actually a vital, liberating path to a deeper, more robust faith.
And that's the enduring relevance, isn't it, of Job's struggle. His willingness to question, to express bitterness and confusion, it ultimately didn't diminish his faith. Instead, it underscored his deep-seated belief that God was listening, that he was profoundly present even in that perceived silence. It's such a powerful lesson that faith isn't the absence of doubt. It's really the persistence of engagement, holding on, speaking out, even when it feels like everything is just falling apart around you.
So here's a thought to leave you with today. When life feels utterly overwhelming, what would it look like for you to voice your rawest emotions to God, trusting that he's big enough to hear?